Coming up on The Source, there are 16 independent school districts in Bexar County. What if they were merged into one mega school district? Or maybe we just merged some of the smaller neighboring school districts that are already struggling with low test scores and poor finances. San Antonio State Representative Roland Gutierrez is proposing a law that takes a look at our many school districts and dares to ask the question, should there be some level of consolidation? Gutierrez says he's getting some pushback for asking the tough question about school district consolidation, but it could bring improvements to the area's education system. We're going to hear all about that. Also, later in the program, Medicaid expansion in Texas. Is it going to happen? It could bring billions of dollars into the state's economy and improve health care for millions in Texas. But Governor Rick Perry says he won't budge. That's coming up on The Source, but first, the news.
The Source is made possible in part by a grant from the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.
This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. There are 16 independent school districts in Bexar County, not counting the military school districts. Here's a list: Alamo Heights, Bernie, Comal, East Central, Edgewood, Harlandale, Judson, Medina Valley, Northeast, Northside, San Antonio, Schertz-Cibolo Universal City, Somerset, South San Antonio, Southwest, Southside. But what if there were only one Bexar County ISD, a mega school district? Or what if we were able to combine some of the smaller neighboring school districts? State Representative Roland Gutierrez is exploring that. He represents District 119, which covers a south and east part of the county and crosses the borders of nine school districts. Gutierrez filed House Bill 2542 to study school consolidation in Bexar County.
Well, 2542 simply calls for the TEA to perform a study over the course of the next 2 years so that we can evaluate, we as policymakers can make decisions when it comes down to the possibility of school consolidation. Everybody talks about it. It's a little dirty word that everybody likes to talk about, but no one ever does anything about it. And so without us having any hard real numbers, we can't do anything about it. So all I've asked is for TEA to evaluate a couple of different scenarios. One, going from our current state of affairs, which is 16 school districts, to one school district, and scenario number two, 16 down to five. You know, as we face a tremendous problem across the state on school finance, you have to understand, and I think it's only logical to understand, that there's tremendous inefficiency in what we're doing in our school districts locally in Bexar County. You've got 16 different police departments, 16 different library resource procurement entities. You've got 16 cafeteria entities, 16 busing and maintenance facilities. And so all of those, and the list goes on, not to mention 16 different school administrators, superintendents, and all their executive staffs. You know, you can go down that list, just about think about anything that runs a school district and multiply it 16 times over. There's got to be some way that we can afford, not just taxpayers, but students, a better delivery of resources and a better delivery of their tax dollars as it relates to our educational system. And so I'm not suggesting that I have the answers at my disposal. I'm suggesting that I need the answers. And the way to do that is to get the people that know what they're doing, get the folks over at GEA to evaluate it and see if this makes sense for us as a city. We have to stop running away from this problem. I mean, I understand that the problem at the local school district level, and I understand that, you know, nobody wants you in their backyard, but it's high time that we started looking at a global picture for consolidation of our 16 different school districts in Bexar County.
Now, either one mega giant school district for all of Bexar County. Now, this doesn't include the military school districts, right?
No, the 16 that currently exist, there's actually 15 in Bexar County. There's another that serves students from Bexar County, and then of course you've got the two military bases. So, in actuality, you're looking at 18 different school districts. The ones that we would have jurisdiction over, however, would be 16. And so I'm not suggesting that an answer is one monolithic school district. Perhaps, you know, four, perhaps five. And so I happened to throw out two numbers, one and five. To look at different efficiencies, to look if there's models out there that could work for Bexar County. Obviously, when you go to one monolithic system, you know, you have a whole new set of problems and a whole new set of inefficiencies. I think we have to do something better than what we have right now. We have to get beyond the colloquial tendency to just worry about my neighborhood and my backyard. We have to see what's good for all of San Antonio. And by the way, finding those efficiencies, being good for taxpayers, ultimately being good for the delivery of education to students, and by the way, also potentially having a positive effect on school finance and equity in school finance. Now, therein lies the big fight. Why should Northsiders fund Southsiders? And I understand that concern that they may have. But we have to resolve the inefficiencies that we have in delivering education at our local level. And at the same time, we have to swallow the pill that, you know, education should be equal for all. You know, especially public education should be equal for all. So in so doing, you might actually find some answers when it comes to equity in school finance as well.
The smaller school district that we have, they seem to be on more on the south side of town. We have like Harlandale and South Sand and Edgewood, and they seem more like they would be better suited for consolidation, because on the north side, we do have pretty large school districts, Northside ISD and Northeast, SAISD also in the center of the city. Judson is also a pretty good-sized school district. But is really the problem on the south part of the town?
Yeah, you bring up a good point. And maybe to a certain degree that, you know, the south side is part of the problem, if you will. But I would argue that, you know, again, there's 16 districts, and a good, I guess you could argue there's about 7 or 8 south sides. So, yes, when you start looking at creating efficiencies amongst even just in that area, I think that you'll find something that is vastly better for taxpayers, vastly better for students.
You know, and as speaking from the media point of view, we have reporters, only a few reporters, many school districts. You can't cover everything. The public is counting on your local newspaper or TV radio station to cover the school board meetings. And many of them you never go to because it's a smaller entity. And so people don't find out about policies that are put into place or changes made into school district level until it's too late. And so I think by consolidating school districts, it certainly would stop some of these stealthy school districts that we have.
Well, I'm not going to comment on school boards and school board members.
Saying it in a pejorative way, but they do have, yeah. You know, they adopt policies, and sometimes the public wants more input, and they don't hear about what's coming until it's hit the media.
I think you're absolutely right in that regard. And I think the bigger issue for me is getting down to a position where I think that you can find some streamlining, some unification of effort, some allocation of resource management that works better than it does by having, you know, a district that consists of two high schools or one high school in certain instances. We've got to find a better way to deliver the resources to folks, not just to the students, but also to the taxpayers. You know, maybe you can find some tax relief in resolving this issue. But we'll never know if we don't have the ammunition. So myself as a policymaker, I need the information at my disposal. And without the information, we won't be able to do good sound policy. And so that's all this is asking for. I know the uphill battle that I'm going to have. But without that information at our disposal, we'll never be able to truly address the situation in its entirety.
Now, to consolidate school districts, it's really not that difficult. It just requires a couple of petitions, hitting a certain level of the people of percentage of the people who voted in the last general election, and then you have another election, and people say yes or no, and you're consolidated. Is that how it works?
You know, this is something that people would have to vote on. This is something that people would have to come together on across several districts, and ultimately make plans as to what's right for San Antonio, 1, 4, 5. And so I'm not the expert on how to accomplish that dynamic, but we have to begin a dialogue. And the only way that we as policymakers are going to be able to begin the dialogue for making this happen is by having the information at our disposal as to trying to find those efficiencies. And it's only logical that we're going to find significant savings when we combine all of those different departments that comprise a school district. I mean, you're talking, you know, just on superintendents alone over $3 million. I would argue that we're, at the end of the day, that we're talking over several, if not $100 million, several hundred million dollars. And that's something substantial. I think it's something substantial when we're talking about people's tax money, when we're talking about money that we need to spend on our educational system and our children.
So people need to realize that Austin cannot pass a law that's suddenly going to combine these school districts, either into one giant mega school district or whatever number, because this is something that people have to vote on the ground level, because that's just
That's correct. People, so first off, you know, because we've gotten calls on the plus side and the minus side of this thing, and people have been for and against this. I made it very clear to all that this is the very beginning step. You know, this is simply a study, and if this were to ever happen, it would require communities to go out and vote this up or down for their respective communities. And I think at that point it would, at that point, bring in our city leadership, our certainly interested parties at every level, that stakeholders at every level that can go out and vie for their particular position, whether it's for consolidation or to keep things as they are. I think that the folks in, I think that the business community, I think that the taxpayer groups, I think would obviously be in favor for some form of consolidation. And so I think that there's other interests and other stakeholders that that obviously wouldn't be for it. Look, I mean, we've got to stop thinking at this very colloquial level. We have to stop thinking that this is going to affect, you know, high school football and the like. And that's not what this is about. This is about bringing the best possible policy forward for our kids.
Right, but how would this impact like football? You know, I mean, you're not going to close down schools. This is not about closing down individual high schools or all that.
You can't imagine the calls that we've gotten over the last several days about people concerned about their high school football team. And this has nothing to do with closing down schools. This has nothing to do with closing down high schools. This has everything to do with resource allocation and resource management.
And economy of scale.
Economies of scale. You know, in so doing, we can deliver education better. Somehow, some way along our history, we got to have 16 school districts. I think they're all wonderful. I know that people, you know, do the very best that they can, but we have to look, you know, people elected me to continually try to make life better. That's what I see my position in. That doesn't mean that I'm the expert at everything, but I need to go out and find the tools that are out there in the toolbox. And if TEA, if we can pass this bill, and we can order TEA to go out and do this study, because those folks are the experts, and they can tell us, well, this is what's going to happen if you go down to one. This is what's going to happen if you can consolidate St. Bear County into five districts. And these are the savings that you could potentially have. This is what you can do with those savings. So all of those questions need to be answered before myself or any one of my colleagues start talking about actual consolidation, actually going over the ballot box and having that argument. So we're a long, long way from schools, from district consolidation.
How did we get 16 school districts? How did that evolve?
You know, my staff, we are a very limited staff at the legislative level. And we have very small budgets, but we're doing the best that we can to get the history behind everybody. And we'll have a report for you in about a week or so. But, you know, through the years, we've evolved to this level, you know, now having 16 different districts, some small, some large, as you know. And here's the situation we're in. You know, we have established, and I don't mind saying it, we have established political fiefdoms, that need to be looked at. You know, we need to look at the most basic and fundamental thing, which is our children, how we're going to best allocate our resources, how we're going to best use economies of scale to give them a better level of education and at the same time be mindful to taxpayers and let them know that their dollars are getting well spent, and maybe we can save them a few dollars in the process.
State Representative Roland Gutierrez has filed a bill in Austin that asks the Texas Education Agency to analyze the possible benefits of merging school districts in Bexar County. It requires a vote of the citizens that live in the impacted school districts before you can consolidate an ISD. There's more ahead on The Source. Austin is debating expanding Medicaid in Texas. It would create jobs and improve health care, but conservative opponents say it would cost Texas too much in the long run and lead to a socialist single-payer health care system. We're going to get the latest on that debate after the break. Stay tuned. Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Proponents of Medicaid expansion in Texas aren't ready to throw in the towel yet, even though Governor Rick Perry says he's not going to back down. But some Republican lawmakers continue to try and find a way to bring the estimated $90 billion in federal Obamacare funds to the state. That would bring medical care to about 2 million Texans who currently have no health insurance. Economists say for every dollar the state would spend on Medicaid expansion, the state would get $1.60 back in taxes. But opponents to Obamacare are not swayed. They see it as a violation of their conservative principles. Kyle Cheney is a medical reporter for Political.com. He says there is a reason for Medicaid expansion supporters to hold out hope.
I think what you're seeing is state lawmakers are not quite as absolutist as Governor Perry has been publicly, and they're looking for some way to say there's billions of dollars on the table for us to expand our Medicaid program. We don't want to do it the way the Obama administration envisions, but we do think those dollars can be put to use to ensure people who need it, who are vulnerable. So how can we get there, get to yes on that? What can we do to get those dollars but without just throwing people onto Medicaid?
It seems like what's happening in Texas is just the opposite of what's happened in Florida and Arizona, where the governor flipped and then they ran into problems with the legislature. Here it's a legislature trying to push the governor to accept Medicaid expansion.
I think that's right, except I think you'll see, you're also going to see more agreements among the legislature and the governor in that they don't want to just put people on the Medicaid program. They all agree that the Medicaid program has problems. So what the legislature is doing is looking at other states like Florida and like Arkansas, where Republicans have pushed back against their governor and said, well, we want those Medicaid dollars too, but let's try to use them in a different way. Let's try to get people private insurance with those dollars instead of just putting them on Medicaid. And I think that's what you're seeing the legislature in Texas looking more closely at.
So if there is Medicaid expansion in Texas, regardless if it uses one formula or another, it would mean billions of dollars flowing into the state for medical coverage and treatment, and that would mean a big windfall for hospitals and people who provide health care. And so these are the folks, are they the ones who are pressuring and lobbying people who are moderate on this issue to go ahead and jump in?
Hospitals in particular, in almost every state, are pretty active supporters of Medicaid expansion. They provide so much uncompensated care where people come in without insurance and get treated anyway. So Medicaid expansion is supposed to be a big relief for these hospitals. Doctors in Texas are not as definitive. Part of the problem there is Medicaid rates, what they pay doctors who deliver Medicaid care, are not as high as private insurance coverage. So a lot of doctors won't even take Medicaid patients, and there's a fear out there that you might throw a lot of people into Medicaid, and then they won't really have the options for care that people envisioned. So the doctors aren't as lobbying as heavily, but they're sort of on the fence on this.
That aligns the problem that we say that Medicaid is not a functioning system, that it's broken, that problem with the doctors.
Right, exactly. I think there's you know, strong agreement, I guess, that Medicaid is, while a lot of supporters of expansion say it's better than having no insurance at all, it's not a perfect system. It's an expensive part of every state budget. And, you know, there's questions about whether people really get the access to care that they need in the Medicaid program.
Now, Governor Rick Perry was in CPAC over the weekend. He gave a speech and said very definitively that he's not going to go with Medicaid expansion because it is a one step closer towards socialist single-payer health care.
Right, and I think, you know, the question for Governor Perry is how much wiggle room is he leaving himself to say, well, if we take the dollars but use them to get people private insurance, does that really count as Medicaid expansion? That's what you're seeing, in, again, in Arkansas, where they're saying, let's get that money because it's a lot of money on the table, but we want to do it, use it to get people private coverage. So when Rick Perry says, I don't want any part of Medicaid expansion, does he mean he wants no dollars that come with it, or does he mean just not the way it's out envisioned in the Affordable Care Act? And that's an open question. His office, you know, made pretty clear they're not interested in the dollars if it means putting people onto Medicaid. But if there's an alternative, they weren't as definitive.
Yeah, in these urban counties like Harris County, Houston, and Bexar County, San Antonio, Dallas County, you know, that's the counties are picking up the tab for a lot of people who don't get Medicaid, who come to emergency room treatment. And so we're seeing the counties pay for it. If we had this expansion, then basically the price gets the expense gets passed off to, you know, the federal government or state.
Exactly, and I think that's why you may see more pressure coming from within the counties themselves.
So are we seeing any cracks here? Do we any reason for people who want Medicaid expansion to happen in Texas to have hope?
Yes. I don't know if I'd call them cracks, but I think the advocates are clearly seeing an opening here. People who support Medicaid expansion have been sort of in this gloom in Texas for so long because there's been, you know, virtually no light at the end of the tunnel for those groups, are now saying, well, you know, we're hearing from some pragmatic lawmakers who are seeing all this money on the table and looking for a solution. That's much better than it seemed before. If they can come up with a framework, again, to guide the Perry administration toward a way to get those dollars and get coverage for those vulnerable people.
Kyle Chaney is a medical reporter for Political.com. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. A programming note, starting April the 1st, The Source is leveling up. It'll become a hour-long program, a call-in show at 3 p.m. Monday through Thursday. We're going to focus on local and regional news and culture. Join us online at tpr.org, and The Source is a production of KSTX, Texas Public Radio.